Chapter 2. As Tom sat back and thought about what Michael had said, he was aware of the drinks trolley coming back down the aisle towards him. Olivia drew level to his seat, smiled at him. "Have you finished with your glass, sir?" Tom nodded, handed it over, and as she was about to turn away, his curiosity got the better of him. He'd been thinking about her remarks about her husband and his early retirement, and for some reason what she said had stuck in his mind. "Do you mind my asking, but what kind of things is your husband doing now that he's retired?" he asked. She looked a little surprised at his question, but smiled and nodded as she stowed his glass away safely on the trolley. "Well, he's always drawn and painted ever since I met him, and now he can devote all his time to it. Over the years he's had a few local exhibitions that he got a really good response to, and he sold some paintings, which was wonderful. Then I just wondered why he's waited until he's retired to do it full time," queried Tom, hoping she wouldn't think he was being rude. Olivia hesitated. "I'm not sure why, but probably security had a lot to do with it. The time never seemed to be right, but I'm sure if he had done, he could have made a success of it." "Thanks," said Tom. "I appreciate you telling me. I really wish him well now he's finally doing what he always wanted." She looked a little startled, then slowly nodded, as if in agreement. "I guess he is, and thanks for your good wishes." She moved away down the aisle, leaving Tom reflecting on what she'd just said. He just couldn't bear the thought of waiting until he retired to do something that really inspired him, and that he really wanted to do. He was deep in thought, and jumped when Michael tapped him lightly on the shoulder as he stood beside him in the aisle. "You really were miles away, weren't you? Have I given you food for thought?" Michael asked him as he settled back down in his own seat. "Yes, you have, but I was thinking more of something I just asked the stewardess." "Olivia, what did you want to know?" Michael looked at him curiously. Tom unconsciously raised his hands as he turned to reply, as if he was trying to shape his answer before he spoke. "Well, I asked her about her husband's retirement, and it made me realize I don't want to wait that long to do something I really want to do." "Was it just that?" Michael asked him, and Tom hesitated before saying, "No, it was more what she said about why he had waited, about the time being right, and not wanting to take the leap and do the very thing he was passionate about." Michael grinned and leaned over and tapped the notebook that was still on Tom's lap. "I think you're ready for the next part of I Believe. Still interested?" As if a switch had been turned on inside him, Tom realized that there was nothing he wanted more than to discover the rest of the secret to I Believe. He opened the notebook and turned to Michael. "Okay." Michael leaned back in his chair and held up his left hand with the fingers splayed out. With his right hand, he touched the fingers as he counted. "First we had the letter I, which stands for I believe. Then the B, for be passionate and want it. Now," he lightly touched his middle finger, "we have the E. And you've just described it to me perfectly." "Have I?" Tom asked. "I wasn't aware of it." "No," agreed Michael, "but that's just because you didn't recognize what it was. The E is to extend your comfort zone. And that's probably the reason Olivia's husband never quit his job to become a full-time artist. He was afraid to get out of where he felt safe." "But surely," Tom retorted, "most of us operate in our comfort zone. Is that so wrong?" "No, not necessarily," agreed Michael. "That is, if you want to be most of us. But I thought you wanted to be something better." "If you never face your fears about the future and conquer them, then you'll never be successful. We all need to be stretched as human beings in order to grow, but if you don't allow yourself to be challenged, then you actually shrink. Your self-confidence diminishes, and you're simply not being true to yourself. You need to expand your comfort zone by doing something every day that makes you uncomfortable. That's the way you'll move forward." Tom felt a bit daunted by this. But looking into Michael's calm face, he realized that here was someone who, after all, had obviously done that and was sitting here in the best seat in the plane. So he must know what he was talking about. Guardedly, he asked him, "You mean I must take risks more often, right?" "No," replied Michael. It isn't necessarily about taking more risks, but we'll definitely be talking about risk later on. Pausing momentarily, he looked Tom in the eyes so that he really understood the impact of what he was telling him. What I'm saying is that to be successful, you must do more things that make you feel uncomfortable, up to a level of discomfort that shows that you are indeed moving forward. Let's try a little experiment. Are you up for it? Okay, I'm game. What do I have to do? Tom sat forward in his seat, ready for whatever task Michael might set him. Nothing too taxing, don't worry, he reassured him. Now, just cross your arms in front of your chest. Tom was a bit bemused, but played along with it. Michael solemnly looked at him, but there was definitely a twinkle in his eye. Now, just notice which arm is on top. Most of us have a dominant side, and you'll always cross your arms the same way. Tom looked down and realized that he'd automatically crossed his arms, so his left arm was on top. Now reverse that so the other arm is on top. Michael watched in amusement as Tom tried to change over, and still ended up with the same arm on top. He tried again, and when he'd done it, Michael nodded. Now, just sit that way for a few minutes. How does it feel? Weird. It's just not natural. I don't feel comfortable. No, it isn't natural, and that's exactly the point, Michael agreed. It's a small thing, but it's moved you out of your comfort zone. You could also try brushing your teeth with the opposite hand for a few days, but that's not so easy at 30,000 feet. Tom looked uncomfortable, but Michael wasn't letting him off the hook. Stay like that a bit longer to see if the feeling changes. Let me give you another example. Do you remember when you first met your future fiancé and you were nervous about asking her out? Here we go again, thought Tom. He's going off on another of those sidetracks he seems to like so much. But he nodded in agreement as Michael continued. Well, you were afraid, but you wanted to get to know her, so you plucked up your courage and asked her out. Now, if you wanted to play it safe, you could have waited and found out more about her, see if you knew anyone who knew her, and try and find out if she was interested in you. By that time, she could have met someone else, and you'd have been too late. But you found the courage to ask her out. You pushed yourself outside your comfort zone, and you got the reward. She's now your fiancée. You tell me, was it worth feeling uncomfortable for? Absolutely, said Tom, unconsciously relaxing back into his seat, without noticing that his arms felt a bit more comfortable. Well then, you understand one of the basic principles of becoming a successful entrepreneur. Once again, Michael ticked off the points on his fingers. You have to start spending a lot of time feeling uncomfortable, face your fears, and take some action. You risked looking like a fool if she'd turned you down, but you were willing to put yourself out there. Let's face it, rejection and failure is part and parcel of life. But the successful entrepreneur is willing to accept that as the norm, deal with it, and carry on. You showed you could do that for love, so why not for business? Hang on a minute. Tom leaned forward. His eyes were laughing, and his whole face showed an energy Michael hadn't seen in him before. You're telling me that love and business are the same? No, I'm telling you that to be successful in business, you have to love what you do. Remember, that was the B. Be passionate and want it. Now you're looking at what you have to do for the next stage, and that's the realization that success lies on the other side of comfort. Sure, you can just stay where you are for the rest of your life. You've already told me you have a good salary, you have security, but you're not happy. I believe that in order to be true to ourselves, we have to take total responsibility and have the courage to make the necessary sacrifices to gain the rewards that we want. Tom, most people, to use your terminology, use only 5 to 10% of their potential. Can you honestly tell me that you are making the most of your talents and abilities right now? While he'd been listening, Tom hadn't noticed that he'd been holding his breath. Now he let it out slowly, realizing the tension that had been slowly developing in him. He felt Michael was challenging him to step up to the plate, and he knew that somewhere along the line he had become afraid to be that visible, to stand out from the crowd. He was aware of Michael watching him, and he spoke rather slowly as he thought about what he wanted to say. "I do know that I'm not using all my talents and abilities, probably nowhere near it. But what I've also just realized is that somewhere along the way, I've settled for less than the best for myself." Tom wasn't looking at Michael. His eyes were fixed on the ceiling over his head, as if he were looking for the right answer. "I thought that if I just stayed where I was, then I could reduce the stress I was feeling. But instead I got more and more pressured. I haven't let myself move out of my comfort zone for years, and I think I got into the habit of not looking to the future because I didn't like what I could see there. Myself in the same job, year after year." Tom unfolded his arms and stretched them out in front of him, as if he was trying to push away that unwelcome vision of his future. Michael offered a sympathetic nod, but wanted to press Tom even harder to face what it was that had been holding him back. "Let me tell you another little secret, Tom, and that is that the way to push out of your comfort zone is to face your fears and limiting beliefs. Now, I've been a runner most of my life, and I'm going to run a marathon in 3 days' time. Do you think most men my age would believe they could do that?" Tom had no idea how old Michael was, but he certainly had to be nearing 60, although he looked fit and trim. "I guess not," he said. "Exactly," Michael said. "They believe that they can't do it, so actually they are right. You know the old saying, whether you believe you can or whether you believe you can't, you're right. It was Henry Ford who started the Ford Motor Company who said that, and he knew a thing or two about being successful. If you accept as a limiting belief that you can't run marathons all your life, then you won't get onto the starting line. Now, I know I'm not going to finish first, but I believe I will finish, and I don't allow myself to think any other way. I'm ready to keep testing my limits, move myself right out of my comfort zone, because that's when I can be really proud of who I am. Sitting at home watching it on TV isn't the same thing. Now let's hear it. What is your limiting belief?" Tom spoke almost without thought, as if he needed to say it fast before he lost the courage to say it at all. "When I played tennis, I always believed I would win, and I usually did. For some time, though, I seem to have been losing confidence. I'm not sure if I have that winning streak anymore." Michael let him sit in silence for a moment. Then, when it was clear Tom wasn't going to say any more, he gently said to him, "Tom, if you had what it takes to be a winner then, you have it now. What you're faced with is a belief that you no longer can do it. All the things that made you a winner then are still with you. What you have to do is rediscover them. And sure, it might be uncomfortable, painful even, to force yourself to really test your limits again. But until you're willing to stand up and be counted, you won't know what it is you're capable of." As Tom thought about that, Olivia came through the galley with an armful of newspapers and magazines. She came to Tom first, although it was to both of them that she spoke. "I know you want all of them, Mr. Redford, but what about you, sir?" As Michael reached forward, she gave him 3 newspapers and 2 magazines, one of each that she carried. Tom shook his head, as if he felt he had enough to think about without adding in the day's news. As she moved on and Michael slid the papers into the briefcase at his feet, Tom asked him, "Are you really going to get through all of those?" "Of course," replied Michael. "It's all part of extending your comfort zone." Tom laughed. "I wouldn't have thought like that. How is that going to stretch someone like you, except in the time it'll take you to read them?" Michael surprised him by not answering straight away, but changing tack once again. "I notice that you never answered my question about how much of your potential you're using, but I hope you're still thinking about it, because you're going to have to answer that question for yourself, if not for me. Don't discount the incredible knowledge we can all get from reading, because it's one of the best ways to increase that potential. I believe that in order to make the most of who you are, then you have to stretch one of the greatest muscles in the body, and that's your brain. Knowledge is power. You need to know what's going on in the world, and you need to have your views challenged. As you well know, the whole world is now accessible to us, through travel and through the internet. There's so much opportunity for knowledge, and it's available to you 24/7. You just have to open your mind and find it. For instance, don't just read the paper that agrees with your take on the world. How's that going to move you out of your comfort zone? You know I said you should do something every day that makes you uncomfortable. Tom nodded in agreement and tried to figure out what was coming next. Well, Michael continued, you also have to do something every day to sow a seed of opportunity. Something that moves you on towards your goal. And all successful entrepreneurs are always looking for an edge, an advantage. That usually comes from being open to new information, and often from the most unlikely sources. I might read a newspaper article about a guy who's trying to develop a new product for large-scale construction work for, say, hospitals, but he can't get the government interested. Now, it might be that I have overseas interests where we have to build hospitals as part of our development plan, and I can see that it might benefit me to get in touch with him. I might have found out about him anyway, but maybe not in time to make him an offer before somebody else gets in. That is my seed. Now, what seeds are you sowing? Tom thought and then said, to begin with, I'm reading Napoleon Hill, and I've met you and started taking notes. Michael reached down and picked up one of the newspapers. Okay. So you think some more about it, and I'll see if there are any new challenges waiting for me in here. He switched on the overhead reading light, opened the newspaper, and began to read, as Tom started writing in the notebook, to make sure he hadn't missed anything. Tom's notes. E. Extend your comfort zone. You must face your fears and limiting beliefs head on, to develop your self-belief. Whether you believe you can or believe you can't, you're right. Henry Ford. You must do one thing each day which makes you feel uncomfortable. You must sow a seed of opportunity every day.